Bless you.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 372, stanzas 1 and 2. Come, all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless, ye that are standing night by night within the house of his delight, his glorious name confess. 1 and 2 of Psalter 372.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, thereof the third chapter, 1 Corinthians 3. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we do appear before Thee on this first Sabbath day of this year, wherein Thou dost uphold Thy own institutions, as Thou dost give still this world to be upheld in its existence, and as Thou dost still have a people, an elect people, who are to be drawn into Thy kingdom, and as that word, that candlestick, has not yet been removed from among us and from our children, oh, then we may acknowledge Thee for the greatness of Thy goodness and long-suffering over each and every one of us, who are so undeserving of this great blessing. But we beseech of Thee for the application in the year that has begun, when the services have begun again, then we do look to Thee as the great office bearer of Thy church. Oh, we would in this day have installed office bearers, but Thou knowest all that has taken place amongst us. Thou hast taken one away from among us. Others were given no freedom to accept the offices, and Thou knowest all our condition as a congregation. Oh, could it please Thee, Lord, to remember us in Thy mercy, Thou who dost in the way of Thy offices also call and set forth those who will speak for Thee and who will labor for Thee in Thy kingdom. Oh, we beseech Thee that Thou wouldst also be evidently working among us to do as it pleaseth Thee, but to remember us and our children in Thy mercy. For the church must be served, and we do not have that ability in and of ourselves. It all must come from Thee. Oh, that Thou wouldst be the beginning thereof, and that Thou, whom Thou dost bring into that work, wouldst give to feel those everlasting arms underneath to help us to do this work with the fear of Thy name in our hearts, and in all honesty before Thee, and in all truth before Thee, without fearing a man, and that we may do what is good and right in Thy most holy sight, and that we may appear before Thee without spot and without wrinkle, being washed ourselves in the blood of Thy dear and only begotten Son. We have heard it in these moments, the only foundation, Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast laid. O Lord, then there is so much building of wood and hay and stubble upon that foundation that will come down in that day of days. It will be tried by fire, and we also shall be tried by fire in what we bring, in what we hear, in what we do with all that comes unto us. Oh, it is every man's work will come before Thee in that great judgment, and Thou before whom all are naked and open before Thee, and with whom we have to do, will look into the innermost recesses of our hearts, and then Thou wilt judge according to what Thou seest and knowest. Oh, we beseech Thee, Lord, it is a day of grace, it is a time of salvation. We are fast hastening away, everyone falling by our sides, and we also will also fall one day and go down into that grave. And the time that is hastening onward for us and for our children, Oh, could it please thee to bind that matter upon our hearts this day, to draw our souls after thee, oh, that we may be given truly to forsake the world and every former friend. Oh, that thou wouldst draw by thy Spirit with that irresistible grace. Oh, that then we shall run after thee, turn us thy servant, and say, and we shall be turned. Draw us, and we shall run after thee. Oh, take reasons out of thyself, O Lord, that thou wouldst give thy dear Son an inheritance as thou hast promised unto him, because he is worthy thereof, for all that he has accomplished in that humbling of himself and giving himself in great love even unto death. Oh, that thou wouldst give that our hearts may be touched by one of thy own fingers, oh, that we may be regenerated, that we may be born again, and that we may begin to hunger and to thirst, oh, that we may begin to cry after the true and the living God, that thou wouldst take away all those other foundations that thou hast not laid in the life of thy people, all the tears and all the experiences that are so very sweet, upon which they do tend to build, and then we become more and more converted in ourself. But we cannot die with this. O Lord, we can only die with thee as a naked and a wretched and a miserable sinner. All then we alone can die in that true and saving faith upon that one and only sacrifice, that name, and that one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And thou dost call us thereto, but we have no hunger, we have no desire. Oh, we are so dead to it, Lord, and we need to be born again. Oh, we need thy Spirit to open our poor blind eyes. Oh, we need our ears to be opened and to be bored with an all to the door, that we may become the servants of thee, the willing servants of thee, in that pleasurable service of the Lord. Oh, to receive everything for nothing, and then to only praise and magnify thy great and holy and worthy name. Oh, remember us, Lord. We cannot do it from our own side. We look up unto thee even in this very hour, and for all the Sabbaths that might be before us in this year, when we do go forward therein, and we know not what a day may bring forth, then that thou would give us an earnestness about our life, both young and old. Look on our young people in all that vanity that the world has set before them, and also the evil that is so easily attainable by them, to direct the eyes and to take their ears and to steal their hearts away with what is evil and what is sinful and what is vain and what is carnal and what is passing away and that is so, so empty. Oh, Lord, show them in the days of their childhood and in their youth, oh, that maybe they may be kept from every evil way, oh, that they may say with thy servant, that thy law is my meditation all the day. Oh, Lord, that thou may give teachers also in our midst and in our school that may fear thy name in tenderness and in truth, to be able to set before our children in that most important work that they do take up once again in the week that is before them here and in Calgary and in all of our schools. Lord, could it please thee to remember and to bless and the many efforts that are put forth from day to day
And then there can be weariness on the side of teachers and of administrators when there is so much labor to do. And then there can be so many things that do come up against it. But Lord, we beseech thee, oh, give them to feel thy nearness, thy presence, thy help, thy blessing, and the importance of their labors, and that thou may also bless and sanctify that work in the midst of the rising generation, and that thou may give more instructors, oh Lord, bind it upon the hearts of our young people, a most important work, and that thou may give it especially unto our young men, oh, that there may be those who are given such talents by thee, oh, may it be just one, but a talent for that kind of work, that they may be given a heart and a desire to give themselves in all the self-denial that it requires, that thou may bind that need upon their hearts and give, and that this, the places may be filled, that our children may be edified, and that they may be instructed in the fear of thy name. Oh, remember the school boards, all that do drive the buses, all the staff that cares for the school, and all the things that are involved, thou knowest each and every one. Do supply for all those thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world, the vacant churches where they are, elders and deacons when they must do their labors, when that one office is not filled. O Lord, wilt thou send more men into thy service, for the Sabbaths do continue, but Lord, thou knowest our denomination. And thou hast given unto us, and by the way of our forefathers, thy truth, that it may still be among us. But Lord, we have a rising generation, and thou knowest many of the churches, and how that so many are drawn away. O Lord, remember each one in their place, and could it please thee to provide for us as a denomination in thy mercy. Do remember mothers and fathers. Remember those that are expecting, wilt thou supply. And wilt thou remember those who have no children. Do remember all that do suffer in the mind or in the body. Care for those that are persecuted for thy great name's sake. And the needs are many in the midst of the church and of the world, but there is one thing needful, thou sayest, bless, Lord, bless all the afflictions, bless all the callings to that one work, that while we are upon this short journey between the cradle and the grave, that there may be this or that, that someone does say, when thy word did come into their heart, and thou didst say, so far, and no further. O Lord, turn us then, draw us this hour, be amongst us feelingly and believingly. Come thou and bless thy word and glorify and magnify thy name and feed thy poor and afflicted church with thyself for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 349 all the stanzas.
My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. 1-4 of Psalter 349.
beloved congregation, it is the first Sabbath day of this new year, 2024. God's word has already begun to go out among us. That is a privilege that is withheld from so many persons that are in the midst of this world. And thus, something given to us and that is not given to them. Who does that? God. God makes a difference. God makes a difference where there is no difference between us and anyone else that is in the midst of this world. That is, God is sovereign, and in his sovereign good pleasure, he makes a choice. He does what pleases him. Is that not something for us to be greatly humbled under as we begin this year together and as the Sabbaths once again begin in this new year? On the other hand, we know and that the Lord says that where much is given, much will be required. That means that more will be required of us than is required of this world. For every blessing, for every sermon, for every opportunity that we may be given to read that holy word of God, all of these things we need to give an account for on that great day of days. Congregation, then we need to fear, not to exalt ourselves, not to be puffed up with the blessings of the Lord, because it can be that we so easily think ourselves just a little bit better than other persons in this world and that do not know the things that we know. But let us rather fear. Let us rather fear that we perish with the blessings that we do receive. Last week, we heard an earnest admonition of the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It is the calling of the Lord. It is the command of the Lord. It is the invitation of the Lord, and we heard that there is a time that he may be found. And we heard that there is a time that he may not be found anymore, a time when time does end. We heard what that means to seek him, that the Lord calls to come away. And that the Lord calls to forsake, that he calls to turn, that he calls to a true repentance. And finally, we heard that the Lord gives an encouragement. And when he says to seek, that he says that the iniquity, all the iniquity, whatever your life may be, he is ready to forgive it. Everything. Whether you are old or young, whatever kind of life that you have lived, whether it was an outward sin, whether it was awful secret sins, whether they were public, or whatever it is, high or low, great or small, then the Lord says he is willing. He is willing in his dear and only begotten Son. Only, he says, turn away from it. Repent thereof and turn again unto me. But now there is more, and we thought we could not pass that up. In this afternoon hour, we find our text, therefore, in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So far the words of our text, which contain the promise of the Lord to those who seek Him. First, their seeking will surely prosper. We read that in verses 10 and 11. Their seeking will surely prosper. And second, their seeking will be met with joy and fruitfulness that we find in verses 12 and 13. Thus the promise of the Lord to those who seek Him. First, their seeking will surely prosper. And second, their seeking will be met with joy and fruitfulness. A promise. We've spoken about a promise just a little while ago. A promise, what does that do? A promise is meant to lure. A promise does excite the expectations that we may receive something. The promise is used to motivate. Do we need to be motivated? Do we need to be motivated that we may seek the Lord? Oh, certainly, congregation, we do. That is an awful thing to admit, isn't it? That we need to be motivated to seek our Maker, to seek our Creator. But your heart will tell you, as well as my heart will tell me, that by nature we do not seek Him. No, we do not even think upon Him. How many times, young people, in this past week, have your thoughts gone out to the Lord? Oh, then we have to say that we are creatures of the dust, aren't we? Does that grieve you? That your thoughts are also carnal? We think upon ourselves. We think upon this life. We are satisfied with all the things, and that we may obtain in this life. With a lazy wish, we want to go to heaven. But we do not want the Lord. We do not desire Him. We do not seek after Him. The Lord, He says, seek me. And then we say, well, why should I do that? Why should I seek the Lord? Actually, I have no assurance. I have no assurance of my success. God is sovereign. He has his elect people. So if I'm not one of the elect, then I can seek him my whole life, and it will not do me any good. Then I will have wasted my whole life. And, oh, that is not such a nice way when we do seek the Lord, that people are such a melancholy people, and the Lord brings them through such a very difficult way. O congregation, what wicked objections do live in our hearts. Do you ever feel that? How wicked that your heart is. And yet the Lord meets all that wickedness with such a long suffering, with such a patience, and not only a patience, but also with a promise. With a promise. Is the Lord not good to such miserably wicked people as we are? What does he say? He says, I will assure you. I will assure you of success in your endeavors. I will assure you that if you will do this thing, that you will not seek me in vain. If you will but labor, if you will but seek, if you will but search for me with all your heart. And then he makes a comparison. He makes a comparison to the promise that he has given in this world for the fruitfulness of the field that we need to take care of and that he will supply for. When did he make such a promise, children? You hear in Bible the story about Noah. Noah. And when Noah came forth out of the ark, and then the Lord, then he built an altar and made a sacrifice to the Lord. And then the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And then the Lord made a promise concerning this world. And he said that he was no more going to destroy the world in such a way. One day it will all be destroyed by fire. But the Lord made a promise that seed time and harvest in the midst of this world is not going to cease until the end of this world. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. That is the way it is. And now Isaiah says, just as this is always happening, and this is happening because the Lord has said that it would happen. Thus, how does the Lord feed man on in the world? He feeds us by the instrumentality of man. That we have to go out and we have to sow our fields. Without sowing our fields, the Lord does not feed us. He could. He could. There are some things, of course, that grow all by themselves. But sufficient food for mankind in this world and does not come except that man himself is laboring for it. The Lord could do that, but he chooses not. He could do it otherwise, but he chooses not to do it otherwise. And then on the other hand, all that sowing of those fields in and of itself is also not sufficient, is it? Because if the Lord does not give his blessing and the Lord does not give rain from heaven, and then all our efforts are completely worthless. They are futile without the power of God. Because the Lord is the only one who can give life. We feel that. Or we can do many things, but that life is congregation from the Lord. The life of the womb is from the Lord. And that is why we never take away the life of a child in the womb. Because life is what we are not able to give. And this is here what he is speaking about also. And the Lord is pleased to feed mankind in this way, through this means of the sowing of the seed, which is in itself so helpless, that is just scattering a few dead seeds on the ground, cover them with a little bit of earth. You say, what is that going to do? What can that bring forth in and of itself? Solomon went by the field of the slothful, and he said it was all grown over with thorns. Such a way man cannot live. Such a way a man cannot eat. No, we read of the Apostle Paul, he also says that. He says, if a man will not work, neither should he eat, because then he judges himself, and he takes the food away from himself. But the Lord demands that we labor in this year. And when we go forward, the Lord demands whatsoever a man findeth to do, Solomon says, he must do it with his might. Because there are no devices in the grave. And thus the Lord commands us. But you say, well, I can scatter that seed, but I do not know if it is going to rain. It could be that there is no rain, and then all my efforts are for nothing. Is that so? No, that is not so. It is going to rain. How do you know that it's going to rain? Because the Lord has promised it. Oh, it is true. Then there is sometimes dearth in one place or another place in this world, because the Lord is using it to judge mankind, to punish mankind, to turn mankind unto himself. But overall, it is going to rain. It has to rain. Because the Lord himself, as long as this whole world exists, the Lord has promised that that seed time and the harvest is not going to cease. And so that rain will come, and it will return again to the heavens, but not until it has, we read, watered the earth and made it to bring forth and bud. That is according to the purpose. That is the purpose of the rain. That is the reason that the Lord gives the rain. And now it is because of this promise, and it is because of the faithfulness of the Lord to every one of his promises, that you farmers are going out there every spring. And then we are going out there in our gardens, and we are planting. And then you are going out there and sowing your fields. And when you are finished, then what are you doing? Oh, then we are going in our inner chamber, aren't we? Because then we feel so helpless, don't we? Yeah, we can lay that seed there. We can lay it there, and we can sow all our fields. And then we feel our helplessness. And just let the Lord withhold that rain for a little bit. Days, weeks go by, then we say it is so dry. Now what are we doing? Yeah, you say, what can we do? What can we do? Then we have labored, we have sown it, and then we are folding our hands, we're closing our eyes, and we are beseeching, we are begging the Lord, if he will give now, that part that we cannot give, the blessing upon the labors of our hands, life, life, life from the dead. That is what we are doing. And then we feel, oh, how incapable that we are of bringing one seed into this world, so dependent upon that sovereign God and upon his promise and congregation. And then what? Tell me a year. Tell me a year that we have not gathered on Thanksgiving Day in the house of prayer. Sometimes a little more we got. Sometimes a little less it was. But every year again, so supplied. And then such an abundance over what we deserve. And didn't we have every time again to come here and to acknowledge the Lord that he was so good to us and he was so faithful unto us? Is that not the truth? And now what does the Lord say? For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, as the rain cometh down and doeth this, so shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Thus the Lord himself, that is not our word, that is the word of God. And God himself is making a comparison with all those natural things that we do experience every year for ourselves. And he is now making a comparison and saying that he is also in that way going to bless the efforts, the sowing that a man does concerning his own word. He says, my word has a purpose. Just like that rain has a purpose. And the purpose of that rain is that it may, that seed may bring forth, that life may be given amidst all the efforts that I command you to do, to labor 6 days every week, and that I am going to bless them. Just like that, he says, my word shall not return unto me void, because I have a purpose with it. And what is that purpose? That purpose is to gather a harvest, because there is going to be wheat and there is going to be chaff, and I am going to make it all to grow, and I am going to have a church. And my dear son has given his own life that he may pay for iniquity and sin of his own church. And now I am going to apply that. I am going to give the application in the midst of all the people in the world, not just the people in Israel, not just the Jewish people, but all the people in the world. Great and small, far and near, high and low, I am going to give my blessing, and I am certainly going to accomplish the thing that I have set out to do, to gather an inheritance, a reward for my dear son. It will not return void unto me. Thus the Lord says, seek. The Lord says, call. Call upon him. The Lord says, forsake. The Lord says, return. And then he adds to that this promise. He says, I will bless all those efforts, all that seeking. Oh, I will bless all that calling and that forsaking and that returning in the same way as I am blessing year after year all the efforts of your hands when you are with great earnestness and with great desire and with great hope and with bowing your knees and folding your hands and you are going out into your fields to sow your fields. And I am blessing it as I have promised you that I would bless it, though you are so wretchedly undeserving of it. He says, now in such a way, just as I do that, I will bless it if you will seek, if you will call upon me, if you will forsake your evil way, and if you will return unto me. I have not spoken in secret. I have said unto the house of Jacob that you will not seek me in vain. O congregation, the Lord meets all our sinful objections with his goodness, with his goodness, with his promise. So that our efforts, he says, will not be in vain if we will do this honestly and if we will do this with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Why does he do that? He gives a promise to give you hope. He gives you a promise to give you expectation in your seeking. Just like the expectation you have when you are sowing your field. And when you are hoping in his promise and in his faithfulness. And when you are praying earnestly for that. And when you do not let him go for that except he bless you. So he says, I will do the same when you seek me for the need of your soul. Oh, congregation, then we see something here. We see that the responsibility of man, what the Lord lays upon us, the duty of man, the work that the Lord lays upon us to do, that is so completely one with the sovereignty of God, with the sovereignty of God, that those two things are completely compatible with one another. That they are actually like a marriage, a husband and a wife. Do you know what the Apostle Paul says? We read that together. He says, we are laborers with God. That was in the kingdom of God. That was in the bringing of his word. He says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God has given the increase. And so it is the labors of the hands of his servants that the Lord is pleased to bless. And it is the labor of an individual soul, a seeking that the Lord is also pleased to bless. Oh man, sometimes he speaks about God as if he mocks. Because he says, well, God says that we are dead. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. And then at the same time he says that we are to seek him. And we cannot seek him because we are dead. Then they say that is nothing but mockery. Is that mockery? That is not mockery. That is the goodness of the Lord, congregation. The Lord does not deal with us as stocks and as blocks. He has made us his creatures. He has given us a rational mind and he did not take away that rational mind. Oh, the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. Thus he is working upon our will, the will of a man. Oh, and he is making him a willing people in the day of his power. So encouragingly, oh, the Lord is saying, seek. So encouragingly, the Lord is saying, then I will give you all that which you cannot do. Just like when you are sowing your field, sow it, he says, sow it. Sow it and I will bless it. Seek and you shall be found of me. And when we have no desire, then we begin to blame the Lord, don't we? Feel that in your heart sometimes, young people? Minister speaks about the elect. He speaks about the sovereignty of God. And then you say, yeah, well, how can I help it that I am unconverted? Because God is the one that chooses. And I am not able to do anything about that. So we just go on in our own way. What way is that? It's the way we love. It's the way of the world. It's the way of sin. We do that because we love it. And the blaming of God is just for us an excuse. And our judgment, congregation, is going to be just. You read that in God's word. I've called, and ye have refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then you shall call upon me, and I will not answer. And you will seek me early, but you shall not find me. Why not? You hated knowledge, and you would none of my reproof. And because you did not choose the fear of the Lord, oh, let us never think that we will stand on that last judgment day and point a finger at God. The Bible says that we will call to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. The congregation, on the other hand, then it is possible that we do not want to wait. Oh, we want to sow. We want to work. And we do not want to wait for that rain. And we think that that rain is not necessary. Or then what do we want? And we want always to hear about what we have to do. We want always to hear about the responsibility of man. Just as if responsibility means the ability to respond. Does it mean that? Does not mean that at all. Responsibility is not the ability to respond. Sometimes I think it is better to use the word accountability. What we are accountable for in that great day of days. Congregation, such people pray, but they do not want to wait. They are impatient. All that labor takes too long. Searching, seeking, crying, and do not receive it yet. Forsaking? No. Returning? No. Oh, then there can be leaves. There is no fruit from the Lord. It is all a show. Just like a house built on the sand, has no foundation, is going to come down in the storm when it is tried, as we read, every man's work is going to be tried in the fire. Do you know what James says? He says, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth. And it says he has long patience for them. Long patience. Until he receive what? The early and the latter rain. Are you waiting for that? Are you waiting for that? That early rain, that latter rain upon the labors of your hands. Be patient, therefore. Be steadfast, therefore. The apostle says, because the coming of the Lord that draws nigh. Let us sing Psalter 351. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes. O thou enthroned above the skies, as servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise, until his mercy he displays. 1 and 2 of Psalter 351. promise of the Lord to them that seek him. First, their seeking will surely prosper. Second, their seeking will be met with joy and fruitfulness, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Boys and girls, how many of you have ever heard a mountain sing? You never heard that, right? I never did either. You say a mountain cannot sing. That is right. What if a mountain could sing? What if a mountain could sing? Would that not be a very wonderful thing? Would that not be a very beautiful thing? What if the trees could clap their hands or their branches together as the mountains were singing? If you would ride through those beautiful mountains and see all those trees, and you would see the trees, they are clapping, and the mountains, and you would hear that beautiful melody to God's glory from those mountains. Oh, the mountains cannot sing, and the trees cannot clap their hands. It is a figure. The Lord is saying something with that. He's speaking about a great joy, a great peace. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Out of what? You shall go out of captivity, just like the children of Israel went out of the captivity in Egypt, and out of captivity in Babylon. You shall go out, and you shall go out with joy. Out of what captivity does the Lord lead his people? That is the captivity of sin. Is that a captivity to you? Captivity of sin, by nature, it is not. And then the Lord says, seek me. And then we say, well, I need then to forsake. I need to forsake the things I love. I need to forsake the things I enjoy, the sinful things, the vain things that I enjoy. That is, they are the joys, they are the pleasures of my life. I need to forsake them. What does the Lord say? He says, yes, you do. But do not think that you shall not have joy. That is, that you don't see that as joy right now. But I will make a joy to you. And that joy that will be above every joy that you have ever experienced in your whole life. That joy that you will feel, that you will experience, that will just be like all the mountains are singing and like all the trees are clapping their hands. Oh, then you will not just be a melancholy people. No, you say God's people are sorrowful. Yes. Sorrowful for sin and what they have done and that way of their past and what still lives in their heart. But there is a joy. There is a joy that is in their heart, and sometimes it is just like the whole world is rejoicing. Oh, then they go out like those shepherds. When that child, or when they may see that child, when there is a possibility for themselves, then they may go out with those shepherds and say it to everyone. Or they may speak with Simeon, and they speak with Anna.
to all that look for redemption in Israel, then there is a joy. A joy, the Lord says, like the mountains breaking forth with singing and the trees of the field clapping their hands. That is a joy at reconciliation. Were you ever reconciled? Say there has come a breach. Ever come a breach? Husbands and wives. Is there a breach? Is there a breach between you? Let there not be a breach. Life is short. Life is very, very short. Soon you're going to lose one another. Oh, let your marriage be the most blessed flower that you have here below. Work for that. Deny yourself for that. So there is no breach. And when we have a breach, when there is a coming together, a true coming together, and what was in the way is taken out of the way, congregation, then there is such a rest. Then there is such a peace. How is that with the Lord? Oh, when the Lord is bringing your soul to Him, then there is a restoration of what the Lord had originally created in paradise. We have made such a breach. Ever feel that? We have made such a breach between the Lord and our soul. And now when the Lord is bringing that together, oh, the joy and the rest and the peace that may be experienced in that heart that is here, what the prophet is speaking about. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Briars and thorns, what are they? They are the fruit of our fall. It's the fruit of sin. And that is now the symbol of unfruitfulness. Now the Lord says, I am going to take that away. Oh, how unfruitful we have become. Everything that the Lord made us for, we don't do. We do not give it back to Him anymore. Oh, we have turned everything upside down. And the Lord, He now says, I am going to turn that around again. When I will convert my people, then instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And the fir tree and the myrtle tree are very, very useful and fruitful trees, beautiful trees. That is, the Lord says that I'm going to make my people useful again for me. For me. Would that be a wonder to you? If you were once again made useful for the Lord? If again that you could do what the Lord made you for, O congregation, then everything becomes right. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Oh, the Lord is going to give fruit and is going to take away all of the unfruitfulness that is complained of by His people. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord is going to get the glory for this. And what is He going to get glory for? Well, the Lord says, I will pardon your iniquities. I will pardon your iniquities. And I am going to get myself a name for pardoning your iniquity. Oh, that is the name of a gracious
and a merciful God. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and not passing over the transgression of the guilty. Today, that name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, that is preached to you. He says, seek me. Seek me while I am to be found. He says, call upon me while that I am near. And today he says that every effort that you put forth, new year has begun. New year has begun, right, young people? They speak about New Year's resolutions in the world. Did you ever have such a resolution as this? Oh, if I could bind that on your heart. Because whatever you want to accomplish with your other New Year's resolutions, oh, here is something that will bring a sure reward. This is something that will indeed bring you what you seek for. This is something the Lord says shall certainly not fail. Remember what Boaz said to Ruth? She was gleaning there. Oh, she came. She was busy from morning till evening. And she was laboring in that field of Boaz. And what did he say to her? Oh, he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So she stayed there. She stayed there in that field. She did just as but Boaz said, and she labored there in that field every day again, just picking up what she could find in her poverty. Was she put to shame? Oh, she was not put to shame. And the Lord says, I will not put you to shame. I will not put you to shame. Will you take her for an example? In this year that has now begun, in these Sabbaths that have now begun, to maybe do different than you have ever done in your whole life. Congregation, we have no rights. No rights. But the Lord is bound. Say, how is the Lord bound? He bound himself. He bound himself. He bound himself by his own promise. And you may plead on that. Every time you bow your knees, and every time you take that word and what is based on that word, and every time you come here to the house of the Lord, you may plead on that. On that promise of the Lord. When you look at the fir trees, you ever look at a fir tree? You see where it points? You see it points into the sky. Oh, did you ever say, oh, if I could just be like that. My whole life, if it could just be only for the Lord. Would that be a wonder to you? Ever see a myrtle tree? A myrtle tree. They say, if you will brush against it, then there is a beautiful smell. Oh, would it be a wonder if we could be like that? If everywhere we went, there was a smell, an ornamental smell, precious smell that is unto men, and unto God it is congregation, the restoration of what the Lord has seen, has broken apart. And the Lord is promising this to those that seek Him. Could He promise you more? What could He promise you more than this? A sure result and a blessed joy and a blessed fruitfulness and a restoration into His favor. What could He promise us more? Was asked to Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? She had received those gifts. Wilt thou go with him? Will you go, congregation? She said, I will go. And then she forsook everything. She forsook her family. We don't have to forsake our family in that way. No, but to forsake everything that is not of the Lord and to go out after Him if we are not drawn. Oh, could we draw you? No, we can't draw you. We're just laboring. We're just speaking. Because the Lord has said to us, speak to that people. And the Lord has said, I will be as thy mouth. And so we are waiting and we are asking for the rain to come down unto you and to give that seed that it may flourish. What happens if it does not? Oh, if we are never drawn, you know what will be said to us? We have piped unto you. You have not danced. We have mourned unto you. And you have not lamented. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, the word of God. It will be also in this year a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. What will it be for us? Do we labor with God? God is laboring. God is giving the rain. God gives the seed to be sown. Congregation, are we also laboring with it? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Amen. Oh Lord, we ask for the rain because we are but men, all of us, and we cannot miss the irresistible work of Thy Spirit. And Thou art so good unto us. Thou dost call, O Lord, that we may not refuse. Give us to consider this day. Lord, cause the tears to well up in our eyes. Cause our hearts to break under Thy great goodness, that we may be led back again, and that we may be forgiven all that is amiss, both within and without. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Help us this week, each one in their place. Help us also when we gather with the children and young people for catechism, confession classes. Also as a consistory, the ladies' aid. Remember all the efforts. Forgive and take away all that is amiss and care for those that mourn. For Jesus' sake, amen. 255, 1 through 4. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. To the rock of our salvation, loud hosannas, let us raise. 1 through 4 of Psalter 255. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.